This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
What could possibly be the biggest change to real estate in a century? I'm David Brancaccio. There's news this morning that the National Association of Realtors, a powerful group that sets home sale standards nationwide, has reached a major settlement that could upend the housing market. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has more.
The National Association of Realtors was facing nationwide lawsuits alleging its rules and behaviors were keeping real estate commissions artificially high. Under the settlement, if approved by a federal court, the group will pay $418 million in damages over about 4 years and eliminate its rules around commissions. Specifically, it would prohibit offers of broker compensation on the NAR's multiple listing service, something that has historically kept commissions at about 6%, usually split between the buyer and seller. NAR continues to deny any wrongdoing, but housing experts say these changes would likely drive down the cost to buy a new home, and millions of consumers who have sold a home could get a slice of the settlement. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
With the bond market in a swoon, interest rates have been moving up this week. Let's connect to Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FHN Financial in New York. Happy Friday, Chris.
Good morning, David.
Our guardians of interest rates meet next week. They're not going to move interest rates. No one thinks that. But they sometimes offer guidance about when they might maybe possibly start lowering interest rates. And their job has gotten more complicated.
A lot more complicated. And, you know, just after the testimony by Jay Powell, who told the Senate that, don't worry, we should soon have confidence to cut, we got the February inflation data, which was not only worse than expected at the consumer level, but the producer price index yesterday was up 0.6. It's the biggest increase in a while. Retail sales, also reported yesterday, were weaker than expected. After two strong quarters, American consumers are finally taking a breather.
We also see market interest rates moving up as the bond market falls into a snit about all of this. I mean, 10-year interest rate in the last week has just shot up.
We were expecting the Fed might cut rates this soon, that we gave up on maybe a month ago, but also the European Central Bank, the Bank of England, who are standing aside for now, which means the only one left is the Bank of Japan, and they now are expected to hike rates next week, albeit from minus 0.1%.
We have a lot to watch out for next week. Christopher Lowe, chief economist, FHN Financial. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
These days, it's rare to have the same job at the same place for a whole working life, but Jonathan Bechtel hired on, stayed, and grew at the Can-Can Culinary Cabaret in Seattle. Same outfit, but started as a busser of tables. He's now co-owner, along with Chris and Faye Pink, and he's a lot more. Here is his snapshot from that business we call show.
I'm Jonathan Bechtel, and I am a dancer, MC, producer, and co-owner of the Can-Can. I was a senior in high school and the movie Moulin Rouge came out and I was obsessed, specifically the Roxanne moment. If I ever got a chance to wear a tank top suspenders and do a tango on stage, like, yes, please sign me up.
Roxanne.
I've been at Can-Can for 18, almost 19 years and performing there pretty much the same amount of time, about, you know, 17 and a half years. I started off as a server in Buster purely out of, I think, both necessity and also Chris, when he was starting KinKin, I don't think maybe had an image of necessarily a 5'9", 190-pound ginger man being on stage. My favorites are when people bring their full family to a show. Blows my mind. I just get such a laugh out of it. Some couple will bring their mother and father-in-law, and then it just creates such a fun and vulnerable dynamic for them and for them to trust us to not like push it too far, but still to make it an enjoyable night. I love those moments. We get bachelorettes and birthdays all the time. And then on the other side of it, you get someone who's maybe recovering from cancer or about to go through something big in life. And this is their one chance to have fun prior to something that might be life altering. And it's humbling and just incredibly lovely. For sure, money was a very scary thing during the pandemic. That's weird talking about it now because there's this weird combination of chaos and peace. There was a peace of mind not being anxious about possibly opening, but then this looming fear about, you know, what if we don't open? You know, I started reaching out to friends about doing construction work. I was decorating casinos kind of every now and then for a friend. And it was a really strange time. Seattle, Washington, the whole country, as a performer, kept us afloat. I mean, it was really incredible. And I was able to make ends meet through that, along with some side gigs of casino decorating, making money. I think a lot of our performers kind of fell in the same boat where they were able to keep kind of moving forward and not get hit too hard. I've got some other friends that are performers outside of KinKin and do a lot of gig work, and it was a lot more challenging for them to make it all work. So I think through our business structure, we were able to kind of set people up, for lack of a better word, for success during the pandemic. We were really fortunate to have our business located in the Pike Place Market. They let businesses kind of pay what they could and kind of ride out the pandemic. There's no chance any of those businesses could have afforded to continue paying a full rent while being completely shut down. So they were really, really gracious and helped, like all their tenants, get through the pandemic and pay what they could and slowly pay back what was needed afterwards. But it was really, really helpful.
The French are glad to die for love.
I'd venture to say in my early years of performing, a lot of it was focused on ego, you know, trying to impress people and wanting to just show off what we could do. At this point, it's starting to realize like how special it is to get to share these really, really joyous and authentic moments with an audience.
Because we are living in a material world. And I am a material girl.
Jonathan Bechtel, performer and co-owner of KinKin Culinary Cabaret in Seattle. I'm David Brancaccio, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. May PM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.